Well, how about that weather outside there today? It's just great when you plan an outdoor barbecue and it all comes together like that. It's fun. And I know pretty soon you're going to smell the smell of burgers and everything wafting in here if you haven't already. I know I went out there and smelled some frying onions already, and that got me going. So I'll try not to make this too long so that you're sitting there salivating too long, but We're starting into this series on ancient practices. And what it simply is people throughout ancient times, recent times, throughout millennium, have spent time in these practices, have spent time coming to God, and we're going to talk about a number of these practices. This morning, we're talking about asking, just coming to God and simply asking Him for anything. And we do that in the form of prayers. Sometimes it's a sitting down prayer. Sometimes it's just a breath that we just say, God, help me. Can you do this? And we're going to take a look. Melissa here is going to share a prayer that oftentimes looks a lot like ours, doesn't it?
Dear Heavenly Father, it's me, Melissa. I know I haven't talked to you in a while, and I'm sorry. It's just that I've been really busy. School's been pretty intense. Oh, I don't mean to sound like I'm making excuses or complaining, because I'm so grateful to be here. And, well, I know that you are the one who opened the doors for me to get into this program. It's just that, along with being really busy, I've been feeling really discouraged the last few months. I'm sorry. Why would you want to hear about this? There are people who have far greater needs than myself. Like my friend who just miscarried, or my old high school teacher who lost his wife to cancer. But I just need some encouragement to know that you really care and want me to succeed. I feel foolish even asking this. Seems like such a selfish desire to want to perform. And it's not that I expect to get every solo or part that I want. But just some encouragement, or maybe some affirmation from the teachers would be nice. God, I don't think I ask for much. And I know I probably shouldn't be asking this, but why don't I get the parts I auditioned for? I've come to you before, and I haven't gotten the answer I was hoping for. I don't understand. I believe that you're in control, so does that mean that you don't want me to succeed? Well, I have an audition today, God, and I really need your help. I want this part so badly, but I hesitate to ask because I know this is such a silly request, and I'm afraid that you'll say no, or worse, that this isn't really even important.
Well, there's a prayer that I think in some form or another, we find ourselves, whether we articulate it or not, kind of going through in our minds, don't we? I mean, all of us kind of enter into this mystery of prayer and asking God and wonder, God, you know, can it be? And I want to say here this morning that God welcomes our raw, unedited prayers. He welcomes us to come to Him with whatever we need. And I want to talk this morning about a couple of people who came to needs with Jesus. And theirs was very specific and unique to their situation. But I know every one of us can be sitting here going, you know what, there is something I am presently in need of. It might not pop to your head right away, but maybe even as I'm speaking this morning, you'll go, you know what? That's the thing. That's the thing that God's... And if we can walk away from here this morning saying, God, I'm going to ask you for it. I'm going to keep asking you for it. And I'm going to keep going in there. You may need a job. You might need money for groceries. You might need physical protection. You might need some spiritual guidance right now. Maybe you need help restoring a friendship. Maybe, like Melissa there, you just need some encouragement. God says, come to me. Ask me. I want to be there for you. We're going to be going through the book of Mark, some of the passages in Mark in this series, and we're going to find real people, people who had needs, coming to Jesus and asking them. And some of them were big asks, some of them were much smaller asks. But we're looking at a couple of fairly big asks this morning, and it's from Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll talk about these stories. When Jesus, it says in Mark 7, verse 24, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer, he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then, spinning on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephatha, which means be open. And instantly the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Now Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Incredible stories, fascinating stories. A couple of stories where it doesn't go always as you suspect, but there's Jesus touching people. People heard about him from all over the place. They kept coming to find him. And here's Jesus kind of sneaking off with his disciples. He said, you know what, I want to just kind of have a retreat here with my 12 disciples. I want to spend some time just instructing them. But wouldn't you know it, people found out about him. And it says that a woman, it doesn't tell us her name, but Mark makes the point of saying she's from Syria, Phoenicia. And basically she's saying she was kind of outside of the discipleship group, and she was even outside of the Jewish group who Jesus was primarily ministering to, but she came. And it says that she came, she had a daughter whose child was possessed by a demon. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? How traumatic that would be, the kind of way that would affect your life. You think about any time, if you're a parent, your children are sick or whatever. Can you imagine how that would affect that woman? And it says that she actually fell down at the feet of Jesus. Now, it might have been out of exhaustion. It might have been out of just surrender. I think, too, it was out of a position of humility. She's just like bowing down at his feet. And she begged him, it says. She begged him. And he answers with a very interesting response. It can seem completely inappropriate. He basically says to her, first I need to feed the children, my own family, Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, what was Jesus saying? I mean, that's quite a response. Now, it's important to, when you look at it, to know that what Jesus was referring to, and sometimes there was some serious ethnic kind of problems between these people, but that wasn't part of Jesus' deal. He wasn't referring to dogs as in scavengers or anything like that. But what he was talking about is, I'm here around the table. He was painting a picture. He's saying, I'm around the table with my disciples. I'm in the middle of a meal. Should I interrupt that for the family pet kind of thing? And that could have really put that woman off. She could have at that point gone, oh, well, okay. And isn't that how oftentimes we are when we feel like, oh, I'm not getting the response I'm looking for here, God. But he was testing her. And she leaned in. And this is what she says to him, but she says, that's true, Lord. She uses the term Lord. She says, you're the master. You make the shots. You call the shots. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Somehow this woman got a picture that God has this big table. It's above us. It's full of provision. It's full of blessing. It's got an abundance, so much so that even a little scrap coming off of the edge of the table has enough power to touch what might seem an insurmountable need to me. That's quite the faith. That's quite a picture. She got it. And that's why Jesus said to her, good answer. He says, now go home. And he talks about past tense already. He doesn't even command the demon to leave his daughter. He just says, the demon's left. She goes home and she finds her daughter sleeping there peacefully. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how much that changed the life and the future of that little girl? Can you imagine how that would change her life? I think it's important for us to think, is there some picture in our life that seems insurmountable, some big need? And we said, if that changed, that would change everything. I want to invite you. What Jesus was saying to that woman is, lean in. And even if at first it doesn't seem like your prayer is being answered, lean in some more and ask. She kept in there, and her prayer was answered. Then it goes on, and it talks about another situation. Here's Jesus. He moves on to the region of 10 towns. And again, people start coming to him. And a group of people came, and they asked on behalf of this other man who was deaf, had a speech impediment as a result. He said, can you touch him? Can you do something for him? And again, Jesus says something very interesting. He sticks his fingers in the man's ears. He spits on his fingers, touches his tongue. He looks up to heaven. Now, it says before he did that, he took the man aside. I think this was very personal. I think this was a very intimate kind of encounter just between Jesus and this man. He wanted this man to know how precious he is to him, how important he is to him. And these kind of gestures would have been understood by this man who is deaf. He would have been able to lip read. I guess it's an Aramaic word that means be opened. We're not sure whether that was Jesus just kind of for a moment sighing and saying, you know, I can't wait for the kingdom to come in all of its fullness. I can't wait for that, what's spread on that table to come and to enter this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It might have been that kind of longing that was going on in Jesus' heart, but he looked at the man, he said, be open. Touched him, and the man instantly could hear, and he could speak. And the people went away. It says actually dumbstruck. In the actual words that are used in the original language, it's just like they were, I don't know, blown away. They were completely amazed. They were overwhelmed with amazement. They said, wow, everything he does is wonderful. And you know, the more that we enter into this ancient practice of asking, I believe the more we find that he really is a wonderful God, that what he does is truly amazing. And we just have to come to him. Ask God. Ask him with hopeful expectation. You know, if there's some characteristics that we see from these stories, there was this hopeful expectation. There was a hopeful expectation of the people on behalf of the deaf man. There was the hopeful expectation of the mom coming to him and saying, God, I'm just here. And even if it's just like a crumb, in comparison to what you can do, I'm here for that. I want to visit this picture for a moment, and it's an interesting picture of this, the family pet, kind of the dog aspect, kind of coming to the table. And I think it's helpful for us to understand that in some ways that's how we come to Jesus. But ultimately, again and again, the picture that we see in the Bible is him actually inviting us to come up, pull up a chair to my table. He actually sees us that way. But I think for a moment about our little dog, Moxie. And at some point along the way, scraps started falling off our table. I know we were instructed not to do this when he was a little puppy, but eventually some of you guys know what this is all about. You've got the dog, the little family pet there just looking up at you with the big eyes. It's so hard when you got a plate of food, isn't it? And you give her something, in our case. But there's that hopeful expectation. There's that kind of looking up to the master. And knowing when you're a good master, you're not going to let him down, let her down, that little puppy. And our dog goes in the backyard, and when I call her in, all I have to do, we have a little package of treats. Now, that's not the kind of treats I'd want to dip my hand into and have any of it. But if I even just rattle it, she just comes running. Because she knows we haven't let her down yet. We'll give her something. And you know, when we come to God and we realize, I'm not the alpha dog here. I'm not in charge. I'm coming to the Alpha and Omega. That's the kind of posture. That's the kind of humility that God responds to. And I know in our culture, our intuition is to, you know, as we get older, we're meant to be more self-sufficient. We're meant to look after our things, and that's all good, and that's maturity, is kind of taking care of our stuff. And certainly prayer isn't just a matter of abdicating any of our responsibility and just saying, okay, God will take care of it, I'm going to ask him. But, you know, it can go so far, and especially in our self-sufficient culture, that we lose a sense of our need, that we are people in need. All of us are. We have needs that we can't possibly on our human level address. There's things, situations we can't change no matter how much we try, and sometimes the more we try, the worse it gets. And God's saying to us, come. Come with that posture of hopeful expectation. Come to me, and I will meet you there. I love what D.L. Moody, I'm going to quote from quite a few ancients this morning, but he was a man from a couple of hundred years ago, and he says, God, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is to not come at all. You know, sometimes we go, and that was typical in that prayer, wasn't it? We just think, well, God says, I want you to come. Ask me. You know, there's a guy in the Old Testament, Daniel, who somehow got that concept of prayer. And you remember, some of you know the story, he's thrown in the lion's den. Because he kept praying, he made it a practice 3 times a day to come into God's presence and to ask. And there are situations about Daniel's life that were very challenging. I mean, he was brought as a hostage into another country. Can you imagine that? Thrown out there. And then in different situations under attack. But he kept coming back to God. And there's this passage in Daniel 9. I loved it. Pastor Peter pointed it out this week, and I've been reading a little bit in Daniel 2, and it jumped out to me. This is the verse. It says, the moment you began praying, this is a response to Daniel's prayer for days and days, a command was given. And now I am here to tell you what it was, for you are very precious to God. You know, there's two parts of that. There's that part that says, wow, you mean when we pray, and it's not just Daniel, when we pray, there's a command that goes out from heaven? Picture that. There's this opportunity for us to enter into the supernatural world where God, with all his provisions on that table above us in heaven, is able to command, and angels or his will is done as we ask him. That's incredible. That's an incredible opportunity, an incredible invitation to us. And why is it? Here's what we know. The bottom line on prayer is that we are very precious to God. To know that that is how God feels about us changes our prayers. That whatever the outcome, whether he says wait, whether he says no, whether he answers immediately, his best interests are for us and are actually in our best interests. And when we come to God with an open agenda, when we say, God, you know what? Your will. What do you want? Here's my desires. Here's what I want, God. And we say, God, however you want to answer is great. I'm willing to go there. I love what Max Lucado says about this. He says, sometimes God is so touched by what he sees that he gives us what we need and not simply that for which we ask. You know, knowing that we have that kind of powerful, all-knowing God, but knowing that his heart is good, sometimes we're going to get a picture that he actually is giving us something that's more what we need rather than what we're simply asking for. That's incredible how God can do that. You know, so oftentimes, and again, as humans, we want to sort of dictate outcomes, don't we? We want to kind of keep things in control, have control over those things. I had a funny incident a couple weeks ago while we were on vacation. Our second-year college-age son, he came and went on vacation with us, and we camped our way through Yellowstone and through Banff and that area as well. And at one point, some family members came along, and my nephew came as well. And So we'd had sort of this ongoing little banter, Austin and me, my son and I, about, you know, setting up the tent. And it was a tent that had kind of two compartments to it. It was a really interesting tent. It totally separated, two domes, but kind of all together. So Suzanne and I were one side, and Austin, at times, or now with his my nephew, we're on the other side. But how do you set up a tent, right? You know how it is when you're setting up camp. There's a lot of opinions about which way it needs to point, different reasons why, where the camp, you know, the campfire is blowing from, what way the angle is, you know, on the ground. And then even the setting up of a tent, there's different ways of doing it, right? Well, he's 19 and he's starting to make his own decisions, right? But I'm still dad, right? So we're having this thing and having some laughs about it. Then our nephew joins us, and I'm asking him to do it this way and do it that way, and he's doing exactly what I ask. And my son is just taking stuff out of the garbage. He goes, "Wow, look at that, Dad. He's doing exactly what you ask. He's like the son you never had." We had a good laugh about that. But you know what? So often we come to God that way, don't we? We say, "God, this is how you're supposed to do it." And we have this wrestle with God. And sometimes when it doesn't go the way we think it should go, we get disappointed with God. We might even give up on prayer. And I think what God wants us to know is that He does have the best for us. We are precious to Him. That His answers are coming. And maybe we can kind of approach it with a little bit more of a sense of expectation and adventure. Okay, God, how are you going to do this? Oh, is that how you're answering it now? Sometimes it might be a little bit delayed. Sometimes it's in even just the little things. You know, we had an interesting thing this morning. It was kind of fun, and we've been chuckling about it over the last few weeks. You might have noticed the lights weren't down for the last few weeks. Our remotes went missing a few weeks ago, and we weren't able to find them. And then this morning, we just simply asked again. It was kind of neat how all of a sudden they showed up in one of the cabinets, and we got lights. You know, small things, big things, whatever it might be, sometimes God delays, sometimes He goes ahead and He does it immediately. And we see Him and we get to know Him better as a result as we go through that. There's a man named George Mueller. I got to throw his... He just kind of looks like Abraham Lincoln, doesn't he? He was born about 100 years ago. Incredible, incredible man. Lived to the age of 93. They actually said he had his best stretch from 70 to 93, Peter. That was his most powerful time of ministry. Traveled 200,000 miles after he turned 70, but up and went through the United States numerous times. But he was an Englishman from Bristol, England, and he made it a practice, an incredible practice, of asking God for everything. And believe me, he needed to, because here's what he saw happening in his world around him at the time. You know, the whole English-British Industrial Revolution, the Oliver Twist-type children that were left on the streets, all the orphans. Well, he saw this need and said, "God, you know what? You want to use me to help meet the needs of all these orphans." He eventually had a 13-acre campus in Bristol, England, with five huge granite buildings on it, all these orphanage homes, that could house 2,000 orphans. But he started that whole endeavor with 2 shillings in his pocket, 50 cents. And here's what God had kind of told him to do. In his unique situation, he was not to put the needs out there and ask anybody for money or ask anybody for his needs. He was strictly going to go and ask God. Can you imagine that? How tempting would it be sometimes to go, "Oh, I just know this person, but just..." He just made it a practice. He would only ask God his needs. And God provided in a powerful way. He went from 50 shillings to God providing to a total of 1,400,000 pounds being given to the ministry. I don't know, it's somebody, I think it's more, but 7 million at least. Can you imagine millions of dollars being raised to provide for these children? And sometimes it was down to the wire, like even the ongoing expenses. There's stories about him sitting down, and he knew, and his staff would know, that there was not a single bite of food, crumb of food, in the place to feed all these children. It would come down to that, and they'd sit down, And they'd say a prayer and thank God for the food they're about to eat. And a knock would come on the door. And they'd open up the door and there'd be some bags of rice sitting there. Sometimes with no people. Like there's even speculation, was that an angel kind of thing? That's the kind of way that George Mueller went about his work. But he had to persevere. He had to go after it. This is a quote of his. God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hands as a means. Trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. Pretty cool. Guys like George Mueller, ancients that have gone before us, that say, you know what? God will either give you what you ask or something much better. God will do that. Ask God about everything. We can go to him and say, you know what, God, whatever it is, the small, the big, the little, the not yet, the distant future, the immediate. James 4, verse 2, the last part says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. I like what Billy Graham says. He says, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one bothered to ask. Simply going and asking. Whatever it means. A regular flow of difficulties demands a steady flow of prayer. Just whatever it is, day to day, there's that sense in which it can become almost like spiritual breathing. God, I just need that right now. I'm entering into that job situation or that difficult conversation or that relationship, or I can't find something, or I need you to work in this way. God, could you do that? Getting into tune with God helps us to get him to know him better. Here's one of the great things, and I'll close with this. Ask and you will get to know your Father better. There's a sense in which you get to know his heart and how he feels about you. And there's a sense in which you, when you're praying and you're praying along with others and you're praying together in your life groups and you're praying together in families, that you see God starting to intersect different lives at different points and meet needs. When that same son whose second year of college was just a little tyke, we were living in Calgary, he was playing in a Tim Hortons hockey tournament up in Edmonton. I wasn't able to go for the weekend, but my wife went and brought him. And she was driving back from Edmonton to Calgary, it's a couple hours. And it's a notorious stretch of highway where in the middle of winter can be really bad weather. And she hit like the worst snowstorm imaginable, like complete whiteout, cars in the ditch everywhere, white knuckling it, just praying. God, you know any of those situations where it's, God, can you help me through this? Finally got home. The next morning, her brother calls, living out here on the coast, says, what were you doing between 8 and 10 last night? Because I just felt compelled to pray for you during that time. It's pretty cool how God starts, and many of us have those kind of stories. And the more that we pray and the more that we ask God, the more that we see he's at work, and he's moving our hearts towards him. I read a verse this morning. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Jeremiah 33:3. God will either give you what you ask or something much better. That's the kind of God that we have. We're precious to him. It is so easy to forget the power of those two words, ask me. Make it a practice. Make it second nature. Just an impulsive response. God, I just need to ask you right now. And as we get into that mode, we become stronger. We get to know our God's heart of our Father. And we get in tune with him. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you that you are a God who actually just makes that invitation. Ask me. You're so approachable. You're so loving and kind to us. You're merciful and compassionate. And you're gracious to us. And Lord, for each of us here, Lord, some of us have big asks in our minds right now. We know there might be somebody close to us or a relationship. Lord, we just bring that to you this morning. We just ask you to touch that situation, to come in with your healing power and your grace. Lord, we pray too for those that might be here and might be just needing encouragement this morning, God. Would you touch our hearts in a new way? Encourage us. Show us your heart again. The heart of a father who just wants to give good gifts to his children. Lord, may we be reminded about that this week. And Lord, may we bring all of our needs to you this week, knowing that you are good. So we go from you from here this morning, Lord, with a hopeful expectation of your presence in our lives. In your name, amen.